Be therefore, that's found in Matthew 24 and 44. Jesus Christ is there telling about the coming, his coming. They said, Lord, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered all three questions. He told them when these things would be and what would be the sign of his coming. He told of the dispersing of the Jews and at the end time being brought back again. Now, since it is absolutely impossible for Jesus Christ to lie there's no way under heaven he could ever be wrong. We find every time the Old Testament one time told of the coming of Jesus as a Savior, it has 12 prophecies, 12 promises of God that he's going to come the second time. 12 to every one. Now, when he said he was coming under the Old Testament, it told how he would come by a virgin. It told when he would come during the Roman Empire, and at a certain time Messiah would be cut off in the 69th week, each week counting as 7 years. And in the 69th week, the Messiah would be cut off. In the 69th week, Christ, our Passover, the shedding the Paschal lamb, he was the lamb that died. He died at Passover on Calvary, and his nails and hands were pierced according to the Bible. And he died exactly according to God's time clock. He arrived on the scene exactly on God's time clock, for in the days of the 10 kings of the Roman Empire should Christ come into the world. And he arrived just exactly at that very time. It was Augustus Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, that gave the command for them to come and be taxed. And Mary with Joseph went, and she was great with the child. She gave birth to the child there in Bethlehem. Now, they did not live in Bethlehem, but God said, my child shall come and be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, though thou be the least among the children of Judah, out of thee shall come the governor that shall rule my people Israel. And all the priests knew, if they'd say, where is the Messiah coming? He is to come out of Bethlehem. He is to be born of a Virgin Mary. He is to come during the Roman Empire. But how many that day they were going to be taxed, how many actually believed that when they went, that the next morning the Messiah had arrived in the world according to all the scriptures that God had foretold. Told about how he would, what kind of life he would live, how he would be rejected of his own disciples, how they would crucify him and cast lots for his vesture, which they did. How they would pierce his side. How that when he hung there, that not one bone would be broken. When the thieves on both sides had their legs broken, but Christ did not have his legs broken, because the Bible said, not a bone shall be broken. So there was 64 scriptures fulfilled in 24 hours, and everything that God said about his son came to pass just on the clock time. And God said to the fellow Simeon that was kneeling and praying over there, he said, son, we'll talk to you. He said, yes, Lord. He said, you're going to be living when I send my Messiah, when I send my Savior. You're going to be living, and I'm going to let you see it. Oh, well, wonderful. He went home and told his family. He said, oh, the Lord told me that I would be living when I saw the Lord's Christ, that he would let me still be living. And so weeks passed by, months passed by, and one day he was way over in the other side of Jerusalem. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Simeon, quickly, go to the temple. Go to the temple, for my salvation from heaven has arrived. And so Simeon run to the temple, not knowing and not contacting the shepherds that had been out there on the hill and had seen the heavens open and the angels come down, and all the shepherds went around telling what happened. The heavens were lit up and the angels come and said, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men, for unto you this day is given a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You'll find him in Bethlehem. Why? Because the book said there's where he would be. Brother, God never misses nothing. When he says a thing, it's going to be. There's a lot of folk today, as in then, they wasn't expecting the Lord to come, but a few God told that it's just about the time. Simeon was there. He knew that he was going to see him. Anna expected him to come at most any time, but we find that he did arrive, and here he comes with instructions and walks in and finds Jesus in the temple. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, everything is clockwork. You know, when he came in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time, not 15 minutes before. Had he died had he died 4 hours later than he died. Now think. Had he died 4 hours later, he would have shattered and broke all of the scriptures pertaining to his redemptive power as giving his life as a Paschal lamb, where John said, "Behold, God's lamb that takes away the sin of the world." He must perish and die on Passover. He did die on Passover. He offered his life blood. And before Passover was over, he had bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. And 3 hours later, the Passover ended. Oh, what I'm telling you, if God was very concerned to carry out in full detail everything so accurate, they didn't believe that a woman that never had a man, who ever heard of a woman giving birth to a child? Why, who ever heard of it? But God said, "Ask me for a sign." They said, "Oh, no, I wouldn't ask you for a sign." "Well, I'll give you one." "You'll do what, Lord?" "I'll give you a sign. A virgin is going to conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," because it's going to be God with us. God sent his son, which was a God in very deed. He was the Son of God. Sent him through the Virgin Mary, and by a miracle of miracles. She never knew a man until after Christ was born. But he did come into the world. She never knew a man. It was virgin birth. And the angel gave her the instruction. It was born in Bethlehem. There's not one little thing that an agnostic or an atheist could back up on. God gave us every reason in the world to believe that this child is going to be different. It's going to be something that's outstanding, because the angel said that when he comes, he's going to save his people from their sin. Moses said that you must believe on what I say until that one that comes liken unto me. But when he comes, everyone believe on him, for if you don't, God will cut you off. If you don't believe on him. And don't tell him that Moses said anything, because God will speak to you through the prophet that will come liken unto me. And when Christ came, he was that one that Moses spake about. And when he got ready to enter into his ministry, he didn't have to step out, listen to this, and say, "I am the Christ. I'm the one you're to look at." No, he came very humbly. He came very meekly. And he was baptized of John in Jordan. And John said, "Why, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me?" And Jesus said, "Suffer to be so." He baptized him. And as he came up out of the water, then God took over and introduced his son. Like thunder, it roared down over the hillsides, until vibrating thunder it came in words very clear. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." And he's now getting ready to tell the human world. He's telling earthly people what to do to go to that planet instead of being lost in a devil's hell. So God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Three times on his earthly ministry did God speak from heaven and acknowledge him. But God said, he's my son, and I want you to hear him. He entered into his wonderful ministry. Now, what I'm saying is this. When Christ came, he began to tell us that I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come again. And then he told us parable after parable, parable after parable. And I suppose a dozen or more of the great parables have to do with the coming of Jesus. His coming. Now, not only that, but we find when he spoke before Pilate, Pilate said, art thou the king? He said, Pilate, thou hast said. Henceforth, you're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. How many believe that's going to be? Now, like them, when Simeon went to the house of God, because God told him, found the Christ, everyone wasn't expecting him. They'd say, well, do you believe Messiah come? Oh, yes, according to the word, someday he's coming. And all the generation at that time was saying, someday he'll come. But the book said, in the days of the Roman Empire, shall the Lord come? But they wasn't believing it. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, brother, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. A lot of us are not doing it. We have seen with our own eyes Israel for 1900 years have wandered about. But he said, I'm going to cast them off. And at the end time, I'll bring them back and let them become an independent nation. In the very end time, he told us that in the end time, knowledge would increase. He said in the end time that many would run to and fro. And just in your boyhood days, none of you saw that happen. You didn't see people going nowhere. You'd get in a helicopter if there had been one, but there was none. Why? Because knowledge had not increased to produce a helicopter. Not even airplanes. When one would land, they'd never land in the airport because there were no airports. They'd land in the field. People would leave the house and run out and take a look at them. Why? It is something new in our childhood days. It was coming into the end time, and God described all the inventions that we have today. And he said in the end time, iniquity would abound. Violence would flare out. How many believe, brother, the world has changed in the last few years? How many believe there is sin today such as the world has never known before? Say amen. Amen. How many believe crime has skyrocketed? Crime. He said, as it were in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You say, well, just Brother David, how do we know just when the Lord's coming? Very simple. Just read the Bible and find out the condition it was in the days of Noah, and you got it. Because Jesus, knowing everything, never missing, never fails to hit it, he said, as it were in the days of Noah. The earth was corrupt. The earth was corrupt and filled with violence. I'm going to ask you two things sitting here tonight. Should every last one of you be looking up, not only looking up for the coming of the Lord, but be ready for his coming? Listen. The earth is corrupt and filled with violence. What did God mean when he said the earth is corrupt? You know what corruption is? When a doctor says you've got corruption in this, you know what he says? He said your flesh is red and it's infected and it's not healing. Until the infection is dealt with and the corruption leaves, you do not heal. You keep getting worse and worse and worse. It's on the downgrade. It's not healing when it's filled with infection and corruption. The earth was corrupt. Every year the world was getting more violent, more sinful, forgetting God more, and less hope for any child that was born until the earth was filled with violence. And may I say, can you call a nation on earth tonight that doesn't have violence in it. We have this city of Dallas, and my friend, it's a staggering thing to tell you how many automobile wrecks we have, how many holdups we have, how many drunks run into people, send them to the hospital, how many murders we have, how many rapes we have. Every week of our life, there's a long list of outstanding major crimes, and every time I think you say one, two, three, there's a crime committed, a theft of some kind in Dallas and around about Fort Worth. One, two, three, someone committed some crime. My brother, Dallas and Fort Worth is just a little spot in Texas. What about America? What about the world? What about people ignoring God and committing crimes everywhere? God said the earth was filled with violence, and men's hearts were on evil continually. There were those that were ready. There was an exception. And they were ready. They got in. But the world, their hearts were on evil continually. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever lived in a world where people's mind were as evil as it is today? I ask you to turn on a radio program, one that's not religious. I ask you to listen to it very long. It's got something lustful. It's got something sensual or base on that radio. And 3/4 of the songs you hear that are not religious, 3/4 of the songs you hear today are sung with a suggestive, lustful trend to it, and some of them are so filthy that you have to cut your radio off if you have anyone listening. Why? Because the vulgarity that flows out of their mouth and going out on the radio waves, brother, and they have such jive and jazz in the background until it drives you crazy, and they call that music. One of the greatest historians of our day made the statement. He said, you let me go to any nation and listen to what they are listening to as tunes and as music, and I can write the judgment and how far off it is by the way they have progressed in the type of music they have. He had studied nation after nation. Brother, there is a devil working today in music that gets people's mind is on a frenzy. I was in Canada 3 weeks ago, three weeks ago, and I started to go to bed, and all at once I began to hear something going whoom, chomp, 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 and every now and then I could hear someone going, and I thought to myself, well, I put some plugs in my ears and I put my head on a pillow. I put another pillow over this and I laid down. But all through that pillow and everything else come. And then you'd hear those squeals right in between. And I tried to go to sleep, and at 12:30, my spirit was so grieved until the Holy Ghost in me was so thoroughly grieved until I jumped up and put my pants on and was getting Sister, what you doing? I said, we're leaving out of this room. Wasn't going to tell her, we're going to call nobody. We're going to leave out of this room. I got my clothes on and went downstairs, and I said to the woman, I said, do you allow such stuff as this to go on at 1 o'clock in the morning? And she said, well, I've had several complaints that I've told them to cut it down about that time. Here come a feller out, and he was all hopped up, you could tell. And she said, here's the manager. And I said, are you the manager of that stuff going on in there? He said, yes, sir. I said, man, do you know that the devil is the origin of that kind of music? I said, that's what they use in heathen countries to call up the powers of the devil. Oh, he said, is that so? I said, it surely is so. And I said, it's high time that you find it out. Well, he said, I'm getting ready to leave the hotel. I said, it's advertised as a hotel instead of a nightclub. And I said, we're to come in off of the highway to rest. And I said, you think you could rest in such stuff as that? He said, I've been in again, but I'll go in again. Now, don't here, shake with me. I said, no, you just go ahead and do what you're going to do. He said, I'll go in and I'll fix it. He went in, and when he went in, he came out kind of nervous, and they was just as high as ever. And so I decided I'd go in and look. And I went in there and looked, and here's this fellow that he'd told three times. There's about 8 or 10 of them, and they had them drums, and they had those things, and they were going on it, and they'd been doing that for about an hour and a half, and they were all sweaty. And I looked out there, and there was about 100 of young people, and a few, you know, young married couples, and they were going like this. And I thought, boy, you'd go up and tell them, brother, it's here. Now, if that had happened 50 years ago, the old farmer boys would gather around and say, Bud, we got a stick here with 400 nails run halfway through it, sticking out on both sides, and we got a bucket of hot tar, and we're going to fix you up if we ever catch you coming around here again. But today, they'll buy the things and bring them in the house and put them on the record player there and say, oh, that's interesting. That jive and that humbug they have, do you know that that's exactly the beat that the fellows over in Africa said they used to call up devils? Amen. Call up evil spirits. My spirit was so grieved until I said to the lady, I said, give us a refund. And I said, we'll get out of here. And
it vibrated the floor.
And we got out. And we went to another place. And when we got out, there were three others that we thought we'd left behind, but we kind of got on a side thing there and kind of got turned around in about 10 minutes before we got there. And there was four more that was already there checking in that is in that same thing. They couldn't take it. What are we coming to? You say, oh, was that up in Canada? Brother, it's all over Dallas. They have their topless women. You go in there and there they are without a bit of clothes on. In the nation that has In God We Trust, where have we come to? We've come a long way, baby. God said that because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Brother, if they want to go out to something that's rare, some big sport or something like that, they can pack the bleachers and sit there. But if you would ask them to come for the crimes that are being committed and for the sin that's taking our privileges away and for the invasion of witchcraft upon our shores and the soon coming of Jesus and to have a prayer meeting, brother, you wouldn't get enough to water gun. They don't have time for that. Lovers of pleasure. Not in my grandpa's day, no. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God in the end time. In my grandpa's days, they didn't have a highway anywhere in the United States. They didn't. They had roads, mud roads, gravel roads, shell roads. They begin to put a few there, but God said in the end time, God's going to send the chariots, and they're going to be without horses. And they're going to speed up, and they're going to go like lightning. And they're going to go down the broadways. The old prophet looked. He said, boy, I never did see anything like that. Nothing but pig trails and ox cart trails. Man, look at that. Eight abreast here, something here in the middle, and then eight abreast here. A bunch of red taillights going this way and a bunch of headlights coming this way. And the prophet said God showed him that in the end time, and he showed him many running to and fro, and it said the chariots were racing down the highway like lightning without horses, and they had headlights on them, and they were shining, and they would jostle together and wreck in the highways. And God said it'll take place in the day of the Lord's preparation. Preparing for what? Preparing for a taking out, brother.
I'll tell you, when God sent the flood in the days of Noah, they didn't believe it. Why? Their minds were on evil. They didn't have time to think sober. But, Bud, let me tell you, when finally he said, today's the day, they said, oh, psst. That old long-beard fanatic. What's he saying now? He said, this is the day. You know, 7 days ago, God told him it'd be 7 more days and he's going to send the flood. Oh, silly, isn't it? You don't believe it, do you? No. Boy, suppose it was so, boy, it'd be tough. Oh, what are you thinking you're getting? What's the matter with you? Oh, I didn't say I believed it. A lot of them might have had convictions here, but not enough to do anything about it. A lot of people want to be ready to go when Jesus comes. But, Bud, you're not going to do it by thinking about it. You've got to be ready when he comes. Be ye also ready. He didn't say get ready. He said be ready. For an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And he that shall come, he will come and shall not tarry. Brother, when Jesus said he'd come, he will come. But the flood... they went in, and Noah got in, and the Bible said God reached down and took his hand and pushed the door to and locked it, and said, God shut the door. Didn't say Noah shut it, said God shut it. And after he shut it, I'm sure there's a few of them standing off saying, oh, just foolish, going to float a boat up here on the mountain. And all at once, things got quiet. All at once, the heavens never gave rain from above. It said God watered the earth by letting the dew come up. It was a new thing to have lightning and thunder and rain. But he said it's going to rain, going to flood the whole earth, and I'm going to destroy every living creature. You mean God's going to kill? Gonna kill everybody? Babies? Old man, can't you come up with another record? Play the other side of it. He said there's only one way of escape. One door. Get in. Brother, we're telling the world today there's only one way to escape what's coming. It's coming. As sure, if I reach the place and something would happen, and tomorrow I recant and say I don't believe a word I said, but that's not going to stop God. He's going to come. He's going to come right away. And brother, it's going to be a sad day for the world when Jesus comes, like it was when the flood came. The elements begin to get black. And when it began to get black, they looked at each other. Oh, what does this mean? What do you think this means? And then there was a ruffle of leaves. And the earth began to be blacker. The wind began to blow. Black caps began to turn. Oh, for 100 years they've been hearing it, because he'd been preparing the ark. For 100 years he lived, 600 years, you know. But they didn't believe it. And as it were in the days of Noah, so will it be. It said in the end time they'll make light of it. It said, where's the promise of his coming? He's not coming. Oh, but my brother, let me tell you right now. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming for those that are ready. And he said, when you see these things, he said, you don't have to guess. You're not children of night. When you see these things, you know it's at hand. I preached from the Gospel Lighthouse pulpit for several years. The Jews will go back immediately because God told me so. And while I preached behind the pulpit of the Gospel Lighthouse Church, the Jews went back for the first time in 1900 years. And immediately after that, brother, what happened? Children began to be disobedient to parents. We've had an upheaval of crime such as we've never had. We have had an open insult to Almighty God such as the world has never heard of just the last few years. Who ever heard of using God's name in vain in a paper or on the radio or on the television? But it's a common thing today to have them use God's name in vain on the television, on the radio, on the paper. Brother, the world is on a toboggan slide. And the world is having a form of godliness denying the power. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You'd go up to them and say, do you love God? Oh, sure. My mama was a Methodist, or my daddy was a Presbyterian, or my daddy was a Pentecost. Or they might tell you this, that, and other. Why, sure, I'm a churchgoer. We're not talking about what your mama was or what kind of church you go to. You may say that you love God, but you love pleasure more than you love God. There was a day, Bud, that Christians loved God more than they loved any kind of pleasure. But today, professing Christians will do things that will bring a disgrace to God's heart and to the church of Jesus Christ and think nothing about it. Why? Because they're not yielded to the Spirit. They're yielded to a spirit that is driving people into the hands of the devil. And when the Lord comes, it says the Lord sent the flood and took them all away. And they knew not until the flood came, took them all away. So shall it be in the coming Son of Man. You go out there right now and turn the radio on. Turn on. You won't turn it but a few flips, you hear a preacher telling about the Lord. Telling about His coming. Tonight at 12 o'clock, turn the radio on. You'll hear someone talking about the Lord, His coming. You go most anywhere today, the world at large. I'm talking about the unregenerate world. And you talk about the very soon coming of Jesus. Brother, you're talking Greek. They don't know what you're talking about. That's fantastic. Why, I've heard that old tale for a long while. They don't believe it. But brother, that unbelief will never stop God's hand, as it didn't stop the lightning and the thunder and the rain in the days of Noah. Jesus said, I'm going to come with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And when I come, it's going to be all over. Jude, the seventh from Adam, way hundreds of years before the flood, Jude prophesied and said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all of their ungodly deeds which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him, and to be admired in them that obey Him. And then in Thessalonians it said, He shall come, He shall descend from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord in the glory of His power. But when the door shut, the rain began to pour, the lightning flashed and the thunder vibrated. Thunder's new, rain is new, lightning is new. The whole heavens lit up and they heard it. And then there was a great, deafening, vibrating thunder, and the rain began to pour. I can hear Him say, God will send rain and will send a flood and destroy the whole world because of the sins. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And I can imagine if knocking on the door, and I'm closing now. Noah! Noah, would you open the door? How many believe he would? He would have done that if he'd thought Noah would open it up. I believe in spite of all of it, there were people clinging on. And all I know, I believe, please open it up, Noah. Would you open it up? The last resort, grabbing at a straw, but one by one went down and drowned. Children screaming. The earth panicked. And finally, all life died as the ark went up. My friend, Jesus Christ says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto those virgins that went forth to meet the Lord, the bridegroom, because the Lord's coming is there. And when they went there, they were all ready, all 10 of them. They all had lamps. They all burned. How do you know, Brother Hibbert? Because the 5 later, after they'd waited a while, said, our lamps have gone out. How can your lamp go out if it hadn't been burning? They did burn. They were full of oil. They were ready. And the five foolish was as ready as the five wise when they first went out. When they first went, they were all ready. For had the Lord come at that time, how many had gone in? All 10 of them. Could there be one little thing that would have caused any of those five to have stayed out? Because they all were virgins, all had lamps, all had robes on. They all had oil in their vessels, and they all burned. It said so, they all burned. And they all went forth for the same purpose, to meet the Lord. All 10 to meet the Lord, all 10 virgins, all 10 had robes on, all 10 had lamps, all 10 had oil in them, and all 10 of them burned. And had the Lord come, they'd have gone in. That's them. But because there was a delay, then after the delay, later on, the bridegroom came. They wasn't expecting him. They got unready. Then they wasn't ready when he finally come. And the ones that were ready went in. And it said they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Was shut. Why? Because the ones that were ready got in. Let me tell you, if the Lord comes tonight, you know who's going to go? Let this preacher tell you who's going to go. It's the ones that not used to shout, not used to speak in tongues, not used to shout or dance around. It's the ones that are ready when the trumpet blows. To be ready, your heart's got to be pure and clean. You've got to be prayed up and stay prayed up. Not cold, lukewarm, and indifferent. Not yielding to the spirit of this world. But hating even the garments tainted by the flesh. There'll be untold. He said that day won't come unless there come a great falling away first. You say, was that talking about dead denominational people? Are you kidding? What do they have to fall away from? They've never been born again. They've never been filled with the Spirit. They've never had the power of God in their life. He's talking about people that have spoken tongues, that have shouted, that's had the glory. They had the victory. And brother, they yielded and they were drawn away and they fell away. And God said that day will not come except there come a falling away first. We have untold thousands that used to have the shout of God, and they'd pack this place out tonight had it been a few years ago. But brother, that's back there when their lamps burned. That is back there when they was ready. But tonight, the Lord's delayed his coming. If the Lord blowed the trumpet right now, let me ask you a question. Would you be ready? Didn't say get ready, said be ready. Let's stand to our feet. I want everybody that wants to be ready. You can try to butt your brains against a lot of things, but don't try to butt your reasoning away against the Lord Jesus and his promise to come. How many believe he's coming? How many believe that every sign has been fulfilled? Huh? What's the last one? I ask you, what's the last one in the Bible? 24th chapter, Matthew. He said the last one just before it come. There shall be great signs in the heavens. 15 years ago, we wound up just about everything. There was one thing, the great signs in heaven. But one day a man stepped in something and flew around the world 3 times before his wife got up for breakfast. And that's the truth. He took off and went beyond gravitation and landed on the moon. Got out and took a picture of him walking on the moon and sent it back to your bedroom. The other night we looked on the television and saw one of our air machines land on Mars. We saw it open the door and reach out and grab soil on the planet Mars. Brother, that's signs in the heaven. I said, that's signs in the heaven. It'd scare the socks off of you if I told you what scientists are shaking about now, saying that for the first time in thousands of years,
all the planets will be in a perfect line. And that's only a few months off. You say, do you reckon it could happen then? God may not even have to wait until then. But I'm telling you, the world is wondering what's going to happen. Let this preacher tell you, the Lord's coming and a lot of them are not going to be ready because they're not going to be. You don't have to get ready, you got to be ready. Keep your heart pure. Keep prayed up. Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape. But they're saying, well, I think maybe he's wrong about it. And become intoxicated. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. How many believe we need to be ready? Let me see your hand. I could give you a little story here tonight, but I'm not going to have time. How I got this message. And God laid it on my heart. Everything I've told you, God brought it right down from heaven to you tonight. He's coming sooner than you think. I want every person here that wants to be ready and you don't want to go through that horror of being left, I want you to go around in the prayer room and find you a place. And I want you to stay there till you're convinced that you are ready. And if the Lord had come, you don't have to get ready. You're ready. Oh, hallelujah. If we're not filled with the Spirit, if our heart is not pure, if we haven't been baptized in water, if we're not paying our honest debts before God and man, let's come and let's get in there and touch God tonight. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.